Amen. I'm glad I have that kind of God, aren't you?
Amen.
And thankful that you're here this weekend. Happy 4th of July weekend. And I trust that you're having a good weekend. And it's great to be in church, isn't it? What a wonderful blessing it is. And I will thank Pastor for the opportunity. I take it very seriously to open up the Word of God together. So would you take your Bible and open up to the book of Daniel, please. Daniel chapter 6. And I believe this is what God has for us this morning. And once again, very thankful for the opportunity and privilege to open up God's Word this morning. Trust it'll be a help to you. Ask the Lord to speak to me, and trust that you've asked the Lord to speak to you. Daniel chapter 6, and we'll be reading a few verses here this morning, and just a few verses. I trust you'll follow along with us in Daniel chapter 6 and read the first 10 verses there this morning. I hope you'll receive some special truths from the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God and how it speaks to us. I'm thankful for our pastor. I'm thankful for the men of God that have preached in this church over the years. And I'm grateful I get to be privileged and blessed to be one of those. And I just am thankful for the opportunity. I'm sure it's not easy for pastor to give up his pulpit. And I would much rather listen to him than to me be up here. So I don't know how this happened, but no, I'm thankful for it and appreciate it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says this: "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdoms, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give counts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because," notice please, "an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." What a testimony. Would you notice this? "But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him, except for one thing." Here it is in verse 5. "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel." And here's what wrong they could find with him, which was a lot of right. "Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." What a great thing to be accused of. Verse 6, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever," that means anybody, that includes Daniel, "shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." And the thrust of the message this morning starts off in verse 10, where it says this: "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Would you notice those first four words of verse 10 of chapter 6? "Now when Daniel knew." My title this morning, "Now what?" Now what? When Daniel knew, now what? What did he do? We all have had moments in our life as if we can say this: now what? Life has a way of handling us situations that are not in our plans, doesn't it? None of us are immune to change of plans happening to our life. By the way, if we think we have our own plans, you'll be quick to realize your own plans sometimes get very much trashed. And when hard times come, I want to ask you, what do you say? You most likely would say something to this degree: now what? And if you're not sure of answers, then you wonder what to do. And what you and I do in the moments that information comes to us that is uncomfortable tells a lot about us, tells a lot about our God, our faith in Him, or our fear of life and self. When you get word or find out that things you never were expecting come to your life, oftentimes you might say, now what do I do? Now what? And what you and I do in the when you find out, like Daniel here, now when Daniel knew. Daniel knew that this was not a good situation he found himself in. Matter of fact, it very much could be the end of his life. The lion's den. Any of you have a desire to go into a lion's den with lions that are hungry, ready to take you out? Don't look at you as a human being, but as food, as lunch, plus more maybe. Not a good situation, a horrible situation to find yourself in. And it says, if Daniel knew exactly what to do, and I wonder how he knew what to do. So now what moments are often pivotal experiences in our life that require trusting in God? Amen. That often require reflection, maybe a pause, maybe to stop and think, now what do I do? Might even provoke you to a point where you have to make a decision and changes to our life we never dreamed of. For a young person, it's great, you graduated. Now what are you going to do? And completing the education and pursuing a career or college for an adult. A now what experience would come very quickly if you have a loss of your job. And it says, if you scramble and you wonder, what do I do now? How about becoming a parent? I don't know about for you, but when we had Ty, our firstborn, and held him in my hands, I said, now what do I do with this thing? Like a human being, I got to be responsible for. And how I did not know how much I was going to have to feed him. I thought that was mom's responsibility, and it was for a while, but then somehow I got to take over. Don't you wish you'd get a manual or instructions or something? And we do. We have the Word of God. But a now what moment can happen with a health diagnosis that's serious and you don't know what to do? And it's come so quickly in your life, and you say, now what? A loss of a loved one. Now what do I do without them? And it brings deep reflection, and you find very quickly that relationships are very vital and very important. Amen. And it matters what you do, and perspective is put into your life quickly, isn't it? Now what? Now what moments can serve as catalysts for our life, or they can stay as obstacles if we want them to. And it's meant that we're designed by God to allow God to help us overcome them. And I'm thankful that Daniel has some now what moments, but it didn't begin at the lion's den when he found out, when he knew that the writing had been signed. And yes, he went about it properly. In verse 10, you see what he did. He prayed, he went to his house, his windows, his chamber, and this is not just a new phenomenon. A new adventure, a new journey, a new day for him. This is something he had been doing aforetime. Because there was some more now what moments that came into Daniel's life before chapter 6. Would you turn back with me to Daniel chapter 1? Daniel chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1, we'll see Daniel's life. And by the way, Daniel is an incredible Bible character. None greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're reading the Word of God, every page speaks to Jesus. But Daniel has an impeccable life. He's not perfect, but he comes very close. And he has a great testimony. Daniel chapter 1, it says this in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Guess who's a part of that besieging? Guess who's part of that captivity? Guess who is part of taken as a prisoner of war, if I may? Daniel. Daniel. He's a young teenager, and he's taken from his homeland. He's taken from his family. He's hauled off to Babylon. Not a place that he wants to go to. Not a desire that he has. Not in his plans. His plans are now trashed. His plans are now changed by someone else. You ever had someone else change your plans? And I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes other people just get in the way of your plans, don't they? That's the way it is for Daniel. He's expected and even commanded to conform to the ways of Babylon once he gets there. He's a captive. He's looked at as a trophy of war, as if this is a guy that is top, top tier. And at a young age, he's been uprooted, deported to a strange and foreign land with even worse, a strange king and strange people. And everything about everything is strange. You know anything strange in our land today? Some strange things that take place. This is Daniel. Daniel, verse 3, notice please, it says, "And the king spake unto Asenath, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel," as if Daniel, yes, he is one of those certain, special, specific, designed to be taken. You know, you see, when he's taken is as an adult. No, it says as a child. Children of Israel. "And of the king's seed and of the prince's children," what kind? Verse 4, "whom is no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." No blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You know any kids like that? Don't answer. But he becomes a servant in the court of the king of Babylon, and he's a chosen one. He's known to be handsome and brilliant, just like all of us. Some of you are listening, but barely anybody caught that. Well, this is Daniel. He's well favored. It's as if there's no blemish. Incredible. A young man, really Israel's finest of the finest, the top tier, the top of his class, and he had everything to live for, don't you think? I mean, this is not just someone that just has been, you know, just precariously picked and just so happens that this guy is one of the children and designed to be pulled out from where he's at and be brought to Babylon. No, this is a purpose. And by the way, these men and this Babylonian kingdom, they think they have a purpose behind it all, but someone is more in charge than them. Always is, and is God Almighty. His future is before him, it's bright, and it's as if a detour has come into his life, and guess what it's called? It's called Babylon. It's a now what moment. The now what moments for Daniel have begun as a young person, as a young teenager. Strange world, strange king, strange schooling, strange gods, strange everything. And verse 4, it says that they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Out of uncounted thousands of people, why Daniel? Daniel. Now what? Well, now what, Daniel? You're going to sit at the king's table. And it's going to be a matter that you have been chosen to sit at the king's table. Verse 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before" who? The king. "All on purpose. Now among these," guess who's among those? "Were of the children of Judah," first one on the list. Normally the first one on the list is not necessarily just because of alphabetical order, although you don't even see that. It would be Azariah, right? If you know the alphabet would be that way. No, this is Daniel. He makes the top of the list. First one to be mentioned. Must be something to him. Well, there's a lot to him. Young man who is now seated on purpose at the king's table. You say, how is it on purpose? Because they have a purpose behind it. They're desiring for him to be a part of what they are going to dream and imagine Daniel to be, but someone else is in charge more than them. By the way, we need to be reminded that someone else is more in charge of our life more than us and more than other people. When we think that we have others that might try to control or try to step in the way, no, God is in control. But I want to just ask you a question. What young teenager, what young man does not want to sit at a king's table and not eat the finest of the meat and drink the finest of the drinks and want to say no to that and say, no filet mignon, no drinks for me, vegetables and water? What teenager do you know like that? I have yet to meet one. And especially a guy teenager. And especially a young man. To say no to that. and offered meals quite like he's never probably been offered before. I mean, this is something where, by the way, may I remind you, he's away from mom, he's away from dad, he's away from parents, he's away from home, he's away from everything he knows. And so, excuse me, but he's away from all his people. Verse 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel. He's a child of Judah. Not meant to be in Babylon, at least in his own thinking, he could think that way. And really passing up that steak dinner, if I may. The finest of the drinks, and it's as if Daniel, is he even thinking? Does he realize who's got him there? Does he realize what table he's sitting at? Does he realize who he's offending? The king? Does he realize he's the guest, the honored guest, and you're not to say no when you're being served and offered something? That's not good hospitality. There's no way that Daniel wants to insult the host being his king, the king, and definitely doesn't want to be on the king's bad side. Who in their right mind would want to go on the king's bad side when they're the one in charge? And they're the one leading. Not as if Daniel wanted to do that. And so it says now among these in verse 6, it's as if the decision has been made for him and where he finds himself. And this brings Daniel to really another now what moment. Now what does he do? Now what? Now what? Moments have begun by bringing Daniel into Babylon. Now what? Daniel is taught the ways of the land and taught learning in the tongue and even the tribe and that he's come from. It's as if it's all null and void. But Daniel knows something about the king's meat. Daniel knows something about the king's drink. Daniel knows something because he's read and he studied the Word of God and he knows God. So now what, Daniel? You know that meat Daniel knows was sacrificed to idols, not to God. And he's taught it's an affront to God of God, the King of Kings, God Almighty. Daniel's been taught that the drink itself would bring woe and pain and regret and trouble, redness of eyes, and would hurt deeply the victim that indulges in it. In such a way that Proverbs says it stings like a serpent, it bites like an adder. What should the young man do? Now what? Now what does he do? You and I know the rest of the story, but Daniel determines not to blend in. He doesn't justify why he could or should. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture here. It's as if he doesn't even think about, don't you realize you're offending the king? You're at his table. You can get more than kicked out of the table. You can be killed from the table. You know, it's easier for Daniel just to be a good guest and to go along with it. Shouldn't Daniel make up reasons to justify what everyone else is doing and why it's okay? Why not? Shouldn't Daniel blend in with the culture? Shouldn't he just go along with it this one time, just this one moment? I mean, he didn't ask for this. He didn't bring himself to that table. He was brought to the table. And for some type of reason, he could just say, you know, surely God will maybe understand this time because I don't even know what I'm doing here and why I'm here. But Daniel didn't ask to be put in this predicament. He didn't ask for this for his life. And then the pressure begins, and the pressure always comes from other people. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 10. Verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. Who's talking to him? The prince of the eunuchs. It's as if the master of the court, he says to him, almost in a way, why are you doing this? What are you doing? Are you not thinking? Are you dumb, Daniel? Dumb Daniel. Daniel dumb. Who hath appointed your meat and your drink? For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Daniel, this is what you're doing. It says, then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. It's as if the prince of the eunuch, which is true, says this, you're now getting in my area. You're now getting in my head. You're now going to have my head taken off. You're endangering me. My neck, my throat is sliced because of you. What are you doing, Daniel? What is your problem? But there is something about Daniel that he knows. Daniel is not alone. He knows he has God. And Daniel knows he's responsible, please get this, to a higher court, to a higher king, to one that is God Almighty. Because of this, he makes the decision. In verse 8, you see it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Says he would not. Can we just take those two words, would not? Can I just ask you this question? When's the last time you or I said no to something that we knew God did not agree with? When's the last time you or I said no, not because it was easy, but because it was right? And because we knew that this would offend an almighty God if I say yes. There's all kinds of slogans in our world today. Say no to this, say no to that. There's many things that if we would just say no in a little stage, it would never get to that degree in that stage. I recall a man by the name of Elijah and how God spoke to him. 1 Kings 19, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read these to you. It says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And here's how you think he would pass by. A great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. It says this, the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Well, by all means, an earthquake would speak then. And that must be God speaking. It says this, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Well, by all means, a fire. That'll get somebody's attention. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's what God is in. And he doesn't even have to say that he's in it. He just says, a still, small voice. I wonder this morning, are we still listening for God? Listening to that still, small voice. Truly listening and following God. It's amazing what happens. Did you notice when we read in Daniel chapter 6 that Daniel had an excellent spirit? I wonder how that happened. Just a few minutes ago, we read that he had an excellent spirit. And an excellent spirit comes from the qualities of integrity and willingness to follow God over man. Did you see it? I mean, the prince of the eunuchs is putting the pressure on. He truly believes that his life is in danger. And he doesn't care what Daniel says or thinks about it at this point. It's as if, Daniel, why are you even saying what you're saying and doing what you're doing? Don't you know you are jeopardizing more than just you? But an excellent spirit came from him because of his integrity. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to put a disclaimer out there, because don't bother my kids about this after I tell you this. Now I have your attention. But I asked my kids the other night, I said, who is it that you know that's in your life and wherever they find themselves, whether here or school or, you know, places, different places that you know, let's just name some names. Do you know, because sitting around that dinner table, you know, it's amazing how often we'll talk about all the negative things, not us. We try our best not to do that. But we rarely ever talk about the positive things. I mean, at the dinner table where no one else you think is listening, but God hears. And so the other night on purpose, and oftentimes I make sure that we go in that direction, and we start in that direction and end in that direction. And I'm thankful that we don't start in a bad direction and we end in the right direction. And so the other night I said, hey, who is it that you know in your life that has an excellent spirit? Name some names. Let's go. And now I know you want to know whether you made the list. So that's why I said, don't bother them about this, please. Don't ask them. And thank God some of you did. And you know, not everybody makes that list, and I don't even know if I made the list, right? But the thing of it is, an excellent spirit is noticed by others. And that's the point. It's amazing how that happens. And better yet, rather than asking my kids or wondering if you made the list, ask God if you would make the list. Ask God. When I ask God, he shows me some things that I need help in my excellent spirit. And great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Peter and the apostle said it this way, we ought to obey God rather than man. And the greatest, one of the greatest questions we can ask ourselves is this: do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, an excellent spirit from Daniel came out of being outstanding in this spirit, and excellent means outstanding, so he had to stand out. An excellent spirit came as a result of Daniel on purpose not defiling himself. I think most of the time our excellent spirit gets caught up and trapped right there, and it actually gets taken away because we are willing to defile ourselves. And if we're not willing to defile ourselves, then just so happens, it's amazing how, you know, they say misery loves company, so does sin love company. Daniel knew this, that the only person that could defile himself was himself. The only person who's going to ruin you is you. You say, oh no, everybody else is trying to ruin me. You let them ruin you, you are ruining yourself. And you have ruined you. It's your own fault. It's my fault. Your fault. Daniel realized nobody could defile himself but himself. Well, they just got into that. It just so happened. No, it happened because they allowed it to happen. It's a matter of personal choice between God and Daniel. When Daniel chose between God's word and the king's food, guess what he chose? You know, he chose God's word. Deuteronomy 8:3 says this: man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's how you live. You know, we got to know the word to follow the word. And Daniel's excellent spirit, get this please, is a direct result of his life standing up because he was willing to kneel before God. Amen. And when you're willing to kneel before God and stand before him, and one day you are going to give an account, and I'm going to give an account for every idle word, for every idle action, everything I do and don't do, and that's going to come before God Almighty, and I'm going to be either very ashamed, very embarrassed, or very thankful and very grateful. And one of the reasons it's going to take place is because Daniel's spirit came from a life that stood up. You know why he stood up for God? Because he knew he had to kneel before God. Amen. And he was kneeling before God way before he ever got tested to stand up for God. So when he had to stand up for God, it was already done deal, decision made. Here I go, I'm going to stand up for God. And you know what? It wasn't easy. You don't see that everyone else was doing it. You don't see that it was the popular thing to do. You don't see that it was what was going on in the culture and the myth of that. No, he stood up for God because he knew that he had God not only on his side, but he was going to have to answer to that God. And this is the reason why. And in your and I's now what moments, this is what we want to do, because Daniel did this and it worked. Daniel, number one, was determined to be trusted. He was determined to be trusted. I know this. I know the most important thing we can possibly do is trust God. But can you imagine if God can trust us, what that would do? Notice verse 9, please. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. By the way, that's just like God. When I read that as a study for this, I thought that is just like God. To bring him with tender love and favor. That's my God. That's Daniel's God. That's the same God Daniel served, same God you and I serve. And he wants to bring us into favor and tender love, but notice please, Daniel knew who had brought him to this point. Daniel knew God had brought him. Now, God, there's the now. Now what? Now God had brought Daniel. God had brought him to this point. And so you say, the servant of the children of Israel, verse 3, that's just happened by happenstance. No, that's God's doing. That he was even a child of Israel. Because the royal birth represents something that God offers to us, to be into that royal birth of his family. What a wonderful family it is. Child of God. And then Daniel knew God was in the making and forming of his life. Verse 4, the traits that he had no blemish. Oh, that was because of Daniel made sure no blemish. They're not talking about his face having blemishes, ladies. No. This is talking about a life that was right. Amen. And a life that was all in and gave it his best, And yeah, he's cunning in knowledge, and yeah, he has, you know, all these things going for him. It seems like understanding science and skillful in all wisdom. Well, where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. All of it does. Oh, he's of the tribe of Judah. Just so happened. No, God placed him there, verse 6. That he's first on the list again. You realize what Daniel was doing by not eating and drinking at the king's table even that day? That he was looked at probably as a zero? Yeah, you heard me right. He was probably looked at as a zero, but in God's eyes, he was a hero. And in God's eyes, he was proud of him. Because Daniel had a bigger purpose. Daniel was willing to stand alone for the Lord. You know why? Daniel wanted to be trusted by God. Do you want God to trust you? You want to be trustworthy to anyone in this world other than God? God's the greatest one that you want him to say, I trust that person. Amen. You know, for Daniel, what he had to say, I can only imagine up in heaven. He probably had the angels, you know, that he's telling, I could trust that young man. That young man's going somewhere. That young man's going some places here soon, man. He's going to be traveling, and he's going to do some great work for me because I can trust that young man right now as a teenager. Do you hear teenagers? Young person. You say, how did he stand before lions in his 80s and 90s? That old of a man facing those lions. And because it started as a teenager. It started as a young person, as a child. Daniel had a bigger purpose. He was true to his convictions. Daniel wasn't falling for the myth that influence needs to shed Christian identity. No, to influence a bigger group. No. Daniel knew the more strongly his identity was attached to the Lord Almighty, that God had brought him, that God had given him favor, that God had given him tender love, that God had given him wisdom and all these things, that the more strongly his identity was attached to the Lord, the greater impact would come as an influence for the Lord. God give us some Christians that will take a stand for Daniel. You ever heard the song, Dare to be a Daniel? Stand alone, have a purpose firm, make it known. Heed God's command, dare to be a Daniel. You know this, most likely we wouldn't even be talking about Daniel this morning if he hadn't done this. He stood up for his convictions regardless of how unpopular they were. I mean, can you imagine at that table? Can you imagine if you're going to be trusted by God, then can you imagine all the pressure that was coming to him to try to ruin that trust? And try to make him fail? And try to get him to do? I mean, can you hear the conversation? Come on, man. You're causing more trouble than it's worth. Just go along, man, with eating this. Come on. It's just a sip. You know you're thirsty, dude. Come on. How are you not thirsty? We're all thirsty. Can you hear it? Matter of fact, it probably, maybe in my thinking, would say something like this. I thought you were smart, Daniel. And then it goes from Daniel to Dan man. Don't you know? And then now, Danny boy. Come on, Danny boy. That King Nebuchadnezzar, he's no person to play around with. That's not a joke, Danny boy. Come on, Danny boy. This is not nonsense for you. You're going to have a short life, and you're living your last moments and last days. It's going to be painful for you. And then I really wonder if they gave him such a hard time and say, Daniel, are you dumb? Are you really dumb? Is this really worth it to you, Daniel, to lose everything, to not eat this? To not drink this? Really, Daniel? You can't just partake? See, they thought he was a zero, but God knew he was a hero. And so, I want to ask you this question. I got to ask ourselves this question. Can God trust us? Can you and I be trusted to live for God? By all means, we know Daniel was placed on purpose by God to do God's will, but so are you. Amen. So am I. You're placed exactly where God has for you to accomplish God's purpose for your life. You're not an accident. By purpose, God has brought you this far. And so we would do well to say, hey, I want to listen and hear that Savior's calling, and I want to do my best. Where He leads me, I'm going to follow. And I'm going to go with Him all the way. It's been said this, God didn't bring you this far to leave you and drop you off and act like, oh, figure it out, buddy. Figure it out, ma'am. That's not the case. Because what God brings you to, He will bring you through. I love that. And then what that tells me is God's plan is never accidental. You know, God doesn't make accidents. You're not an accident to begin with. You're not an accident right now. You're not going to become an accident. By God's grace and by God's glory, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. The Lord thy God, he it is that go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Here's the question. When you face that now what moment, will you ask yourself, God, please help me to be trusted by you. I trust you, God, but even greater for me to live out, because God, I trust you, and I know I can trust you, would you allow me to be trusted by you? Would you allow me to be trustworthy during this time? Oh, we can trust God, but can God trust us? The way that we show we trust God and that God can trust us is number two and the last. I only have 2 points this morning, so we're more than halfway there. It's to stay true to what you know. Number two, stay true to what you know. Chapter 1 and verse 6 and verse 9, you see this now among these were the children. Verse 9, now God had brought. But would you take and go back with me to Daniel chapter 6. I want you to just notice that last verse we read in verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew. Chapter 6, verse 10. So it says, if we go from this, we go from a now what to knowing what. Just one little simple letter in front of the word now, but it's a big difference between now what to I know what. Now what's question. To know what hopefully brings exclamation, emphasis, excitement, at least confidence, assurance, at least comfortable more so with who we're trusting in than now what do I do. And so now what to know what. And for most of us, we've heard pastors say this, say what? So maybe he would say to this, now what to know what, say what? I don't know, hopefully not. But the one letter difference does make a difference, doesn't it? To know what to do. And Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew. He knew that the writing was signed. What did this guy do? It's a great pattern for us to know what to do. It really is. And by the way, just as much as what he did not do is as important as what he did do. Because I'm going to share with you two things right from the beginning here of what he did not do. He did not panic. Do you see it? Where do you find panic? Do you find any craziness that comes about that happens because he heard the writing was signed? And now when Daniel knew, well, he rushed around and got crazy. And it's as if he was, just a story magnified. He did not panic. We don't see that anywhere he did. Another thing, he did not make his objections public. Well, you say, well, he did not have social media in that day, so he didn't have Facebook, he didn't have Twitter, he had Instagram, all that, whatever. So he couldn't have made it public. Oh, yes, he could have. Daniel, respected, looked at as very much on the top tier, remember? And here's the thing, he didn't post, he didn't protest, he didn't try to get the worry in about sending the wrong text to the wrong person. He wasn't doing any of that. That's ever happened to you? It's happened to me before. Being overheard on the phone, scared of that? No. Not for Daniel. Because he did not make his objections public, he kept his objections private. And these are some points that are on the slides, guys, I believe. So, letter B, Daniel kept his objections private. Kept his objections private. But you see what Daniel did. He prayed. Immediately. It's as if he had done it before because he had. And do you see what is open? The windows open to his chamber. Well, that was so that the air could come in and that he could make sure that his prayer got right out the window to God and went right up to heaven. No. The reason that prayer and the opening of the windows is not that Daniel opened the windows so that God could see him. It's so that he could see God. Did you catch that? Let's repeat that. It wasn't to be seen. It was so that he could see God. It's a big difference. See, open windows were a sign of an open heart. And Daniel didn't open the windows so that everybody could see him. And let me make sure that everybody sees me praying and make sure that they know about my prayer, whatever. No, prayer is about closing the doors and opening the windows. That's the difference. See, Daniel faced those lions without fear because he had already sought the face of God and he had done it before time. And do you notice as well in verse 10 that Daniel did do something? He not only prayed, he also praised. Amen. How is he already praising? It says this, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Why in the world is this back to dumb Daniel again? Why is he praising this God that he says he serves when he's about to go into a lion's den? Does that make any sense to you? Why he would praise as he goes in, knowing that he's going to go into a lion's den, as he knows that he's going to face the wrath of those lions? Knowing that he's not really got a lot of friends right now, he's really brought conviction to a lot of people based upon his life at this point, saying no at the king's table, and then not going along with this decree that's been written and signed, and now he's in for it. But he's already praising. You know what happens when you praise the Lord? It's as if that excellent spirit somehow creeps in. When you start praising, how can you not get an excellent spirit? Counting your blessings rather than burdens, it's almost as if that excellent spirit just kind of sneaks in there, and so happens. Well, it's on purpose God does that. He gives you that excellent spirit because you're praising Him. And please notice that he had already had a pattern, and so he kept to the pattern, that he had of walking with God. He kept to that pattern. He created that pattern. It wasn't something new. You know, we reserve sometimes the privilege of prayer for only special times of trouble. But that's not what it's meant to be. Although it can be as a 911, but it's much better if it's as a 411. And he prayed regularly and diligently. And the times of trouble came, he simply continued his already established pattern. And I have some bad news to tell you, because verse 17 says this. Would you notice, please? And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning who? Daniel. Daniel still had the same problem. The problem didn't go away. You would have thought by now his objections were kept private. He had, gone to the Lord in prayer, and he's praised the Lord, and he's done what he knows to do, and, God, why you let this happen to me type deal. No, that's not what, you don't see that anywhere. He still has the problem. Like, why would the problem not go away? Because the problem is what God uses to refine us. And Daniel submitted to God's plan. And the same king that is throwing him in says, live forever. And the saying, my God hath, he's doing what's right. And so Daniel, verse 20, verse 22, you see that he says, my God has sent this angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. It's as if he takes credit for it himself. No, he does not. Not at all. Not one iota, not one inkling, not anything. Zilch, not a nothing. He gives all the credit to God himself immediately because God had brought him through. Just like God had brought those things into his life when he was with wisdom and when he had as a child been taken to Babylon. God had brought, he knew God had brought him, and so now Daniel knows what to do. My God has sent this angel. He shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me, verse 22. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. It's as if, try to find a better testimony when you see verse 4 that says he can't find any occasion or fault with him, and then now this kind of testimony of the lion's mouth being shut, what kind of testimony is that coming out alive? What a testimony. But it started back when he was willing to stand up for right and to have an excellent spirit and to go with what he knew to do was right. He wasn't defiled. And so Daniel submitted to God's plan. And then verse 28, there was some prosperity that came to him in verse 28. So this guy, prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, because he submitted to God Almighty and his plan for his life. God was able to trust him. He knew what to do, and so he was true to that. And the purpose in his heart not to be defiled. He was determined to have an excellent spirit. He stayed true to what he knew to do. He didn't panic. He didn't make his objections public. No, they kept them private. Didn't broadcast his thoughts and feelings. And then he prayed. He made it known to God and God alone. He praised the Lord. He kept a pattern of walking with God. He had a heart and life pure before God. And ultimately, he just submitted to God's plan. And when you submit to God's plan, it's amazing how God's plan is so much better than yours and I's plan that we think we have it all figured out with. Amen. And so when you do these things, as Daniel, you go from now what to know what. And what a wonderful thing it is because of all who you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must know Christ first, or better yet, be known by him. And maybe today, as you've listened, today something has stirred in your heart. And I want to just ask you, everything we've talked about today has been on purpose. It's been a reason. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. But we are all found in the same situation as sinners in need of a Savior. And so everything today has been around one truth, that we all need a Savior. We're all sinners, come short of the glory of God. But today can be the day of your salvation, where you say, yeah, I know I've done wrong. I know I'm not blameless. Really, Daniel puts me to shame. There's been some things that have defiled me. Well, no one is past being defiled in such a way that God's love is not deep enough to rescue you. Amen. And God can restore you, and you can still be on your way to heaven if you will but just put your trust in him. Amen. And him alone. And today's a great day to do that. And so as we come to a time of invitation, the greatest news, the greatest thing that you can possibly do is to trust this God we talk about. And then if you've already trusted God, can God trust you? And what you know, stay true to it. Stay true to what you know. At this time, would you stand with me, and our pastor will come at a time of invitation. We want to provide opportunity for anyone to respond to what we call an invitation to seek the Lord and to come to know him better. And what a great place to do just that.
Well, amen. Thank you for that great message this morning. Bow together with me if you would. Just take a moment of time. Now what? Now what? So what do we do now? What do we do now? We just heard some great truth. So what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Let's get quiet for a moment. And maybe right now just pray, Lord, help me to apply that message to my life. Help me to purpose in my heart. Help me to make the decision prior to when the decision needs to be made as to what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you. Now what? You better think it through. There's going to come a now what in your life. There always does. Now what? There's coming a day when you and I are going to stand before the Lord. And now what? Now what? Our prayer is that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Our prayer is that you live out your faith and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord, not just your Savior, making a difference in your daily life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have prayer, and then the instruments will play, our team will sing. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Really consider today your life in Christ. Really consider today, what is it that I know? What is it that I believe? Am I practicing what I believe? Are my beliefs influencing my behavior? You know, that really makes a difference, doesn't it? That's what it's all about. It's not about us just coming to church and playing Christian. It's about us living out our faith day by day in the world in which we live. And you can make that decision right here today. Let me invite you, if you're here without Christ and you need someone to pray with you, talk to, and maybe get that thing settled, we're here. We'll be here long after the service is finished today. We're here during the week. Just give us a call. We'll come by. You come visit with us. We'll be happy to talk with you, pray with you, share with you what the Bible speaks about when it comes to knowing Christ as your personal Savior. Knowing for sure that when you pass from this earth, you'll go to heaven. Father, bless your people. Thank you for the message this morning. Challenge us, exhort us, encourage us to live it out now. Now that we know help us do something with it. We pray in Jesus' name and amen.